The scripture reading this morning will be from Job chapter 14, verses 1 through 2. That is Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Glad to see everyone here with us this morning. If you're visiting, you are indeed our honored guest and hope that you'll stick around for a few moments after we're dismissed to allow us to get to know you a little bit better. Appreciate Colin reading that scripture for us this morning. Here is Job, a good man in a lot of pain, declaring here that a man born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Here we have a righteous man, but he still suffered. Friends, being right and doing right, as Job is evidence of, does not keep the righteous person from suffering. But friends, suppose it did. Suppose that a believer of God, suppose that one that obeyed his gospel was promised that he would be able to escape pain. He would be able to escape suffering. Friends, just think of all the people who would want to become God's people from no higher motive than a desire just to escape pain. Dr. Scott Peck, MD, is a popular author and lecturer. He wrote a book, The Road Less Traveled, and in the opening sentence of that book, he simply states, life is difficult. Is that not basically what Job tells us there in Job 14, 1 and 2? That a man born of woman is full of trouble, and there's suffering in this life? Life is indeed difficult. Job said that centuries ago. But friends, perhaps we could understand why the unrighteous, why the ungodly suffer. However, friends, the problem of human suffering also involves the people of God. People have asked for a long time why bad things happen to good people. We read through the book of Psalms and we come to Psalm 73, friends. We see that the psalmist, he nearly lost his faith because of the problems of evil people prospering and good people suffering. The problem of the righteous suffering is addressed in detail by two New Testament authors, namely Paul and Peter. Paul in 2 Corinthians, Peter in 1 Peter. But friends, God's people sometimes suffer because they are God's people. God's people sometimes suffer because they are God's people living among the ungodly. However, friends, we need to realize as well that God's people may suffer because of foolish behavior. But friends, God does not isolate His people from pain. But He does provide help for them in their suffering. And this lesson this morning is going to identify and recommend that when God's people need help, they may recognize that help is indeed available. So to help as a Christian, to help me as a Christian, I have, number one, a great and gracious God. To help me as a Christian, I have, number two, the Son of God. To help me as a Christian, I have, number three, the Holy Spirit to help me along. To help me as a Christian, I have God's family. To help me as a Christian, I have my immediate family. And friends, to help me as a Christian, I have the ability to help through service to others. First of all, to help me as a Christian, number one, I have a great and gracious God. You know, one of the great purposes of the Old Testament is comfort for the New Testament Christian. Romans 15 and verse 4 very simply states that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures there, whatsoever thing were written aforetime, and Scriptures in that verse point us back to the Old Testament, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we, the New Testament Christian, might have hope and comfort. We can go back to the Old Testament, and we can look at David. David in the Old Testament is referred to as a man after God's own heart. We read of David as a man after God's own heart in Acts 13 and verse 22. But friends, we know that David was a sufferer. David suffered many things in this life. Sometimes he suffered through no fault of his own. Sometimes it was brought down on him by himself. But David was a sufferer. And we read many of his sufferings in the book of Psalms. So we can go to David and we can see how a man after God's own heart dealt with suffering. We know that David suffered because of Saul's envy and he had to run for his life. He had a number of occasions where he could have killed Saul, but he refused to do so because Saul was God's anointed. But he suffered because of Saul. David also brought a lot of suffering on himself. We read of that in 2 Samuel 11 and 12 by taking another man's wife and having that man killed. David suffered from problems with his children. However, through all of that, notice what David writes in Psalm 46 and verse 1. Even though Saul would strive to take his life, even though he had committed a grievous sin in adultery with Bathsheba and killing Uriah the Hittite, even though his son had tried to take the kingdom away from him, he had another son, the same son, kill another one of his children, and then had to be told that that son, whom he loved, had been killed by one of his generals. Notice what he writes in Psalm 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge. Here's a man that has suffered tremendously. And his opening statement in this psalm is, God is our refuge. But he doesn't stop there, does he? God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. How did David make it through? How was David able to continue to press on, to press forward through all of the suffering? It was because, friends, he served a great and gracious God. David also quotes in that same chapter in verses 10 and 11. He also quotes the Lord there as saying, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Friends, when we suffer, when we are sick and ailing, when we have a family member that we love dearly is sick and ailing and maybe even has passed on and we are truly suffering, to whom do we turn? Where do we go? David assures us, friends, that God is our refuge. We can find comfort and solace in Him. Notice what Isaiah emphasizes, Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Isaiah emphasized there the help which God provides for His hurting people. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, Isaiah writes, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. It's one of my favorite verses of the entire Bible. This verse gives me strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. How great is our God that He can give us the strength to carry on. Friends, the God who is my helper is an almighty God. He can take the hurts of life and out of them He can bring great blessings. You think of the king that David was through his sufferings having to run from Saul. You think of the king that he continued to become after the lessons that he learned from his sin with Bathsheba. And the lessons that we can learn from him. Oftentimes the Bible uses the example of gold being purified by exposure to heat. And through that heat, the impurities come to the top and they can be removed. Job searched for good that could come out of his suffering. Job 23 and verse 10. The Apostle Peter said that the trial of faith was more precious than gold tried with fire. James tells the Christians to whom he writes, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." The word there literally is trials. When you suffer, count it all joy. Why? James tells us that will develop in us patience or perseverance. And when patience, let her have its perfect work, so that we may be complete, wanting nothing. God, friends, has promised, Romans 8 and verse 28, to work all things out for good to those who love Him and those whom He has called. Friends, we may suffer in this life, but we have a great and gracious God to help us through. Number two, to help me as a Christian, I have the Son of God. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Notice with me verses 8 and 9. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. The Hebrews writer says here, "Though he were a son," speaking of Jesus, "yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." Friends, we have in Jesus Christ not only our Savior, but a high priest. Hebrews writer tells us that as well. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He is our Savior. And as our high priest, He continually serves God's people as that high priest who ever lives to make intercession to God on behalf of God's people. Hebrews 7 verse 25. He is both a merciful and faithful high priest. Hebrews 2 and verse 17. "And having been in the form of God, having been with God from the beginning," John 1, 1 and 2, he surely understands God's holiness, and he understands God's call for His people to be holy. 1 Peter 1, 13 through 17. However, not only has our Lord and is our Lord God, not only was He with God in the beginning, but friends, He took upon Himself the fashion of a man. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. And as such, He really understands the nature and power of temptation. Hebrews 4 and verse 15. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with our infirmities. Friends, Jesus knows what suffering is like. He knows what living this life is like. And therefore, He is a merciful high priest. And friends, since he is such an understanding and merciful high priest, we should not despair of hope when we sin. We should repent and return to the Lord. Notice Hebrews 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Notice what the Hebrew writer says here. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Friends, we have nothing to fear of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's there to help us. He gave Himself for us. And friends, when our Lord gave the Great Commission, notice what He says there at the end of verse 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. At the end of verse 20, Jesus says, after He's given the Great Commission, He says to His disciples, and lo, in other words, behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Friends, we can find comfort in Jesus Christ. To help me as a Christian, I have the Son of God. Number three, to help me as a Christian, I have the help of the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit has inspired the people who wrote the Scriptures, Ephesians 3, 1 through 6. 40 men over a period of about 1,600 years wrote what you right now have in your hand. And although 40 different men from all walks of life, from all over the place, combined to write one book, they all tell one story. No contradictions. Friends, how else do you think they did that without the help of God, without the help of the Holy Spirit? And so God's Spirit then has inspired the people who wrote the Scriptures. And I can find great comfort in these words. 2 Thessalonians 4, verse 18. Now friends, there are four basic human emotions. Four basic human emotions in different degrees or variations of those four emotions. Humans are glad, sad, scared, and mad. Glad, sad, scared, and mad. Like I said, different variations of those four emotions. Those are four basic emotions. And friends, the Spirit's Word helps us with any or all of these emotions. Read the book of Psalms. If you want a deal and you want to see what those four basic emotions look like and how a person deals with them, you read the book of Psalms. You'll see David writing a psalm where he is at the lowest of lows, and by the time he finishes, he's at the highest of highs. But read the book of Psalms and you observe the reality of these emotions. And notice God's help when His people are struggling with one or all of those emotions. Someone that's suffering, made mention of this before, you go to any hospital right now, and you take the Bible that is normally left in one of those hospital rooms and you just drop it on a table and let the pages open where they may, and about 9 times out of 10, where are they going to open to? The 23rd Psalm. Why is that? People are seeking comfort. They're seeking comfort from the Spirit's Word. He's the one that has delivered this. And friends, there are times in life when the walk of life overtakes us. Hopes deceive and fears annoy. There are times when we may have difficulty adequately expressing to God our perceived needs and the nature of help we need from Him. So what does the Spirit do for us in those instances? Notice with me Romans 8 and verse 26. There are times when we have all, I'm sure, not known what to pray. We have not known how to ask. Romans 8 and verse 26. We are assured that the Spirit helps us. Paul writes there, likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Friends, when we need help praying, the Holy Spirit helps us there. He takes what we need before God, before the Father. And so through the inspired word of the Scriptures, and through His intercession, the Holy Spirit helps me as a Christian. I then have divine aid to help me when I hurt. Number four. To help me as a Christian, I have God's family. You know, a good many times, friends, we may be suffering and nobody knows because we haven't said a word. When the people around us will be more than willing to aid us and to comfort us, to give me a shoulder to cry on, to give me a hand to lift me up. Friends, we need to remember that as a child of God, I am in the family of God. I'm in the church. I'm in His family, 1 Timothy 3:15. And the people of God have become my brothers and sisters. They love me with a pure heart fervently, 1 Peter 1:22 and 23. Therefore, I must remember that they reach out with caring hearts and loving arms to help me in my need, if I will only let them know. They have cause to understand that my misfortune is their opportunity to serve, their opportunity to help. They serve the Lord. Our brethren serve the Lord by serving His people. And if I'm in the family of God, I'm His people. And thereby they become instruments in God's hands by and through which He blesses people. Galatians 6 and verse 10. If my need is for food, if my need is for shelter, if my need is for clothing, friends, God's people will provide it and should provide it. I can find comfort in God's people. If my need is emotional, God's people reach down to lift me up. They hold me so that I can stand, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Now, if you turn and you read that passage, you'll notice a term in the King James Version that says feeble-minded. Friends, that doesn't mean that they're weak of mind. The word there literally means faint-hearted. They're weary. Hold me up so I can stand. If my need is spiritual, then friend, God's people reach down to lift me up, to encourage me. But if I need it, friends, God's people will also caringly discipline me. Galatians 6 and verse 1, James 5, 19 and 20. To help me as a Christian, I have God's family. To help me as a Christian, number 5, I have my immediate family. To be loved by brethren, friends, is an inexplicable blessing. The love that we share is God's family. However, we all know that the love of one's own family is different. The love of a wife who stands by her husband in illness or weakness is a special source of strength. Or vice versa. The love and closeness of children and grandchildren enriches the life and brings comfort to the heart. Brothers and sisters whom we love are a rich source of strength. Your own family loves you when you win or lose. Your own family loves you. They stand by you when you succeed or you fail. It's an unconditional love. And so to help me as a Christian, I have the love of my immediate family. But finally, to help me as a Christian, friends, I am helped through service to others. Some of the Christian's greatest help comes from reaching out to others in Christian service. Teaching a lost person what to do to be saved, as we read about in the Great Commission. If you've ever had a personal Bible study that resulted in a person obeying that gospel, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe even if you've invited someone to worship service that eventually has become a Christian, you know what I'm talking about that feeling of being uplifted, encouraged, renewed zeal. But friends, not just that. It may be converting one who has erred from the truth, James 5:19-20. And friends, we can all look around us this morning and we can see an empty spot where someone used to be that we know doesn't attend anywhere any longer. That may have erred from the truth. Friends, what have we done to restore that soul? I can be of service to them by converting them, bringing them back into the fold. I can be of service and I can help myself by visiting the sick. You ever notice the look on someone's face when you walk into the room, visiting them at the hospital? How appreciative they are? Are you not encouraged by that? I know that I am. We can help ourselves as well in Christian service by helping the old and the lonely. Or friends, by simply rendering any act of kindness and love. God tells us that through love, serve one another. Galatians 5:13. Now, it may seem ironic, I know, that we are helped by serving others. But friends, that's the way what life really works. In the golden chapter of the Bible, Romans 12, God tells us to be patient, or steadfast in tribulation or trouble. And then he explains the way to keep on, to hold on, and to hold up. To keep on, to hold on, and to hold up in trouble. Romans 12:12-13. Continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Friends, simply put, we are helped by helping. We are served by serving. We are loved by loving. We gain friends by being a friend. And friends, we serve God by serving our fellow man. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. Let's be ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Friends, we're all going to suffer. If you are here this morning and you're not currently suffering, there's going to be a time when a storm comes. What are you going to do about it? The great thing about being a Christian, about being in God's family, friends, is that we have a great and a gracious God. We have the Son of God. I have help from the Holy Spirit of God. I have help from the family of God. I have help from my own family, friends. And I gain help through opportunities to serve others. What a great blessing we have as the people of God. God loves His children with a special kind of love. 1 John 3:1-2. He provides for them. He helps them. He is concerned when they hurt. He uses their pain for their spiritual gains. He comforts. He sustains. He forgives. He brings hope. He saves, he blesses, and he will save eternally those who love and obey his Son and those who are faithful even unto death. Let us remember, friends, that the storms of life will pass. The sun will shine again. Happy days are ahead. But friends, most importantly, eternal joy awaits the saints of God. Friends, are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you have the comfort of which we have spoken this morning by obeying His Word? His gospel tells us what we must do to be saved. What we need to do to receive salvation, friends, is to believe in Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, confess His name before men, and friends, Jesus Himself says we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. Would you do that this morning? Would you obey His gospel? Friend, are you here this morning having done that? Are you one having erred from the truth? Would you come home? Would you be comforted this morning? Won't you come now while we stand and while we sing?